Theme song.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. There it is.
Oh, yeah.
Ard. Awesomely righteous dudes. We're back at it again. Low Beezy, that's me.
This is Dirty Sal Joe.
It's Michael, a.k.a. Flufftronics.
And by the way, we're coming at you live from the Punchline in Philadelphia.
That's live when we did it. We're here talking about music and DJ stuff and just culture and entertainment, everything through the lens of DJs that we are. We got years experience working in record stores, clubs.
Enough years between us that our DJ experience has to get his prostate checked regularly.
Rectum?
Hardly knew him.
You can find us on social media.
We have that now?
Yeah, we got around to it eventually.
What are the social media handles?
We got at Ard Podcast on Twitter.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We got Ard Podcast.
Tell me more.
On Facebook.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We got Ard _ Podcast on mm-hmm. Instagram.
So follow that if you wish.
You can subscribe to the show.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you do a little subscribing? Because then it just pops up in your phone when a new one drops. And you don't have to wait for us to tell you about it. It just popped up. And you're like, oh, man, got something to do now.
Another one.
Yeah.
Another one.
But, we got a great show today. I'm really, really happy with this one. We got DJ Diamond Cuts, Philadelphia's club queen. She's been doing the mix show thing on Power 99 for years now. She's DJ for Nicki Minaj. She's DJ for Lil Mama. She's DJ for Barack Obama. And she tells us about her latest DJing for Patti LaBelle's New Year's Eve party. And we just talk a lot of DJ shit with her. And it's fun.
Thanks for joining us
today. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So we did a show a couple shows ago about Philly, block party records or mm-hmm. just songs that kind of became really popular in Philadelphia that maybe weren't and then you go out of town and play them and you're like, oh, nobody really cares
knows
about, Kwame
yeah.
Kwame only you like
perfect
like, songs
yeah.
like that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you are kind of setting the new format for that, you know, because you're on the radio, so many people are hearing you, and you kind of throw in these little joints that I don't think
once
anyone's playing out in Philadelphia.
Audio Push.
Audio Push.
Oh, yeah. Y'all taking it back. Yeah.
I don't think I would have ever heard that song if I didn't hear you play it on the radio.
One thing that I do, and I think a lot of people appreciate that I do, is I play your hits, but then I will also play the songs that sound good, and they might not be your Billboard 100 mm-hmm. records, but it's still a good sounding record and it flows good. And a lot of the times I play stuff that work in the clubs.
Right.
So I kind of mix the club and radio together instead of playing your typical radio hits all day. Who wants to hear that? You hear it all day.
Right.
Why
right,
not
right.
throw something extra in the mix?
That's what's up.
Yeah. So there's so you definitely did that with a bounce type sound.
Mm-hmm.
You
know,
yeah. You were pushing bounce.
Even
a lot.
With the, yeah, a lot of the productions you've done through the years, mm-hmm. there's definitely a very a heavy New Orleans bounce influence to the sounds that you work with. Where did that come from? Just do you have any family there or roots in it or just a sound that hits you, you know?
My stepfather is actually from New Orleans.
Okay.
Yeah. And we used to go there a lot. You know, back in the day,
mm-hmm.
but
were you? I mean, because even there, were you exposed to that real
I wasn't,
sound back then?
I wasn't super exposed to it, but when I was introduced to it, I'm like, oh, this sounds cool. But I didn't really. I was younger. I wasn't really paying, DJing yet and doing too much of the production thing yet. But I think it was I want to say 2009, maybe even. Earlier than that, mm-hmm. I had did a record with Trina. It was called Get It. It was a producer, Pop Wanzel, and he was like, Diamond. Yeah, he was like, Diamond, you should do, he was like, Diamond, you should start messing with the New Orleans bounce sound.
Mm-hmm.
And that was maybe earlier than 2009. I can't even remember, but he was like, you should start messing with that sound. And from there, I fell in love with it, and
right.
I started implementing it into a lot of my production, and now it just kind of blew up, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? But
it always works. That sounds always, like, no matter, does it the 90s, 2000s, now, if it's anything you can twerk to, like, people are going to mess with it.
Yep. Right? And that's one thing that I focus on, like, when I do music. I'm like, okay, can you dance to this? Yeah. I'm not really, you know, are the girls going to go crazy for this? Are the guys going to like it because the girls are going crazy to it? So I like to add a lot of that into my music, and I try to put some of it into my club music too, like a lot of the claps and everything like that. So
It's like you want to make something that DJs are going to want to play because they're going to feel comfortable. Like, there's so much, like, especially hip-hop now, where it's like you got to wait for it to pop off, because if people don't know it, it's so slow, or, you know, but if you play something that's like got that natural energy to it, I'll throw this on. I'll try this out. It ain't gonna hurt nothing. People aren't gonna leave the floor, even if they don't know.
They're gonna keep going.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you know, I was gonna say, and even when I make tracks, I don't always make it to so I can say, oh, this is gonna be a number one song. I make songs that I like, that I personally feel like is gonna be good, and after I do records, like, me or my husband will be downstairs. And we'll mix the songs with a whole bunch of different records and be like, oh, this didn't flow right. We'll go back and change this.
Shout out to DJ Buzzworthy.
Yeah, shout out to Buzz.
Shout out to Buzz.
So, yeah, we do a lot of things like that, too.
That's what's up. You did Stupid Ho?
Yep, Stupid Ho.
That's kind of a standard. That's a club standard now. Yeah. That's kind of like you could throw that on anytime now.
I actually did a record before.
Stupid Ho is with Nicki Minaj, for people that don't know that track. But you should be playing it if you aren't.
Yeah, play that.
It works.
Yeah.
Every time.
I did a song called Freak with Travis Porter.
Yeah. Freak. And, ding ding freak. Yeah. That's another one in that set. You could throw it in there.
Yeah, I produced that too. And we were at rehearsal and the dancers were going crazy to it. Nicki wasn't in the room yet, and she had walked in while they were dancing to it. She's like, what's this? And I said, it's a song that I did.
Oh, wow.
And she was like, you make beats? And I was like, not really. It was like that Freak was like really my first record I ever produced. And I was really playing around with it. I didn't really know the ins and outs of Logic and all of that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, I can. I just started. And she was like, what? Make me some songs.
So this is, you were DJing for her at the time. Mm-hmm. Right? People might not know that. Yeah. You were her DJ from when?
I was DJing I can't remember when I started.
It was around that time. She was like first really popping. Yeah.
And you were simultaneously on the radio here while you were doing that. So that must have been a lot to juggle at the time, right?
Yeah. And I was doing TV too. I was on BET. But Nicki, when I started playing Nicki, no one really heard of her before.
Right.
Like people listened to a few of her mixtapes, but she wasn't on the...
I think I Get Crazy was probably you playing it was probably the first time. And I was like, she was talking in the funny voice. I was like, yo, this girl's weird, man. Yeah. I like that shit. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah.
So I was doing BET. I was doing the rap show at the time called The Deal. And Nicki had never been on like national TV or anything like that. And I would be listening to her all day in between breaks or when we was doing our lines for the show. And I was like, we got to get Nicki Minaj on this show. We got to get Nicki. Who is she? I'm listening to her. She's going to be big. Da, 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 da. So our connection came from that, just playing it. She always said, you know, you were the first DJ on radio or first person on radio that really supported my music.
Was this before she was, before Young Money? Was this like
This was with Young Money, but this was before her first album. She had Beat Me Up, Scotty out the mixtape.
Okay. And what was on that? Was that I Get Crazy?
I Get Crazy was on there, and Kill the DJ, a lot of the Soulja Boy,
yes,
freestyle.
Oh no.
Yeah, Dunk. She got a Dunk.
Oh, yeah. Itty, itty Bitty Piggy.
Itty Bitty Piggy.
I still play that every time
me
I DJ.
So she just really appreciated that, and she was like, I want you to be my DJ. And the first time she had asked, I was doing a lot of the TV stuff, so I couldn't really get into it. But then she asked me again, and I said, oh yeah, let's go. But yeah, it was a lot. It was TV, it was radio, and then we was on tour for like, felt like forever, but it was a good time.
Did you like it? I did tour DJ. I was MIA's tour DJ.
Oh, cool.
Like 2 years before that, like 2008. Mm-hmm. Yeah. and it's it can be tiring, you know.
It is it's tiring,
but it's fun. It's ooh, fun it's when so you're on stage fun. And everyone's going crazy, and you're just like, I can say whatever.
Man,
I
y'all
want.
Got you were MIA's DJ, and you were Nicki Minaj's DJ, and I was Riff Raff's DJ. it just doesn't look.
That was
as
like
good
how long? Was, that was like 2 weeks. That lasted.
Nah, I lasted about actually like on an, like a year and a half.
Oh, that's good.
But wasn't that long? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, okay. It was like. But like little stretches, there'd be like
right. It wasn't quite as yeah.
I think I was DJing for Nicki for like 4 years or something
that.
Yeah,
that's a long run. I probably did like a year and a half or something like that.
It's fun. It's fun, but touring makes you realize like, yo, I could do this on my own. Like, I want to be my own person. So that's why I kind of slowed down with touring and working with other artists, because I felt like I can be the artist. I can go out and I can rock concerts or big parties in these big arenas on my own. I was tired of standing behind artists all the time. It was fun, but then it kind of got, you know, like, okay, I'm Nicki Minaj's DJ, I'm this person's DJ or that person. I just wanted to be Diamond Cuts.
Yeah,
like, right. This is Diamond Cuts, you know, period, you know. And even with radio, I never really was like, people know me for Diamond Cuts from Power 99, but I always liked it. Be my own self at the, sure. You know, on the same note, because you never know. We don't own. I'm not in charge of any artist's career. You know, any artist that I work with, I don't own the radio station.
Mm.
So say tomorrow, if everything falls apart, I still got me.
Right, yeah.
You know
right,
what
yeah.
I mean? So.
I mean, I will say that, you know, a lot of people when they DJ, they just playing records. But when you DJ, it's a performance. Like, your vocals are a major, major part of it. Like, you're like I don't know, your call and response, just like general energy and, mm-hmm. and the way. I'm not that person. I'm like, yeah, I'm that guy that like DJs right. like the technical side of it. I'll mix the shit out of some records and play this and that and stuff. But like, just having that connection with the crowd, like, I really envy the way you do that, because I think you do it the best. Like,
but that's why it's not my personality either. But when I was like the tour DJ and there'd be like a room full of people.
Oh, sure.
Then you like feel the power to be like, everybody put your hand.
That's where it came from, and that's why I'm grateful for every opportunity.
That's good training for that. Yeah,
yeah, because when we were doing the biggest tour that I've done, we've done a lot of tours, but the biggest one was the Lil Wayne tour, and with a feeling of a whole arena being able to like control the crowd is like you said, it's good training. And before that, I spun for a Lil Mama. She was, you know, she had the lip gloss on. She was on tour with Chris Brown.
Yeah, I've been bringing that song back a lot lately too.
Of course,
people get. I forgot about
you,
it. I've been playing it for
this
like a
summer
year now.
Is the 100 BPM Renaissance? Where like all the new songs are sampling the songs from like
with
7 years ago.
Yeah, yep. and girl rap is huge too.
Girl rap,
yes, heavy.
Girl rap is. You're actually the one on the radio playing it. Wouldn't you say like the hottest songs in the club and on the radio right now are girls?
Females, right? Megan Thee Stallion, Cardi B, City Girls, still Nicki. Like, yeah, like the girls are running it right now.
Saweetie,
my type. Yes, mm-hmm. Yep. So the girls is running it right now.
It works for me, man. I'll take it.
Yeah,
it was for a while. I was like, and I'm still like so much slow. And I like to listen to that, but for the club, I'm just like, man, this ain't really.
I was over it. Like, I mean, no disrespect to any of the artists, but you know, when you get those records that's at like 65 BPM or 70 BPM, the whole night is kind of like straining. So so now the music has more energy, so it feels good.
It's crazy how like 100 BPM records will just.
And they stay in your set for so much longer too. Like when the new one, like the new 70 BPM, you play them for like 2 months and then you're like phasing out. But I still play like so much, like all the Mustard, DJ Mustard, all that stuff. Like, it just kind of
stuck
around because it plays a part. Like, it's a foundation.
I will say Drake kind of brought it back a little bit.
Oh yeah,
with the like, Nice for What.
Yeah, with the Nice for What.
Yeah,
Nice for What. When he put that out, the bounce music just went off. Everybody's doing bounce.
He went
music.
Back to back.
What
too,
do you like to play with Nice for What?
I like to play Twerk, City Girls.
Yeah, that works.
I like to play what's the G-Eazy record, the new one he got called Throw Fits, but I
on the track.
No shade, but I just like Young Miami's part. you know what I mean? Yeah.
We've talked about that. Yeah.
But he's doing a good job, you know.
He got good features.
Yeah, good features. So I think he started it, and I'm grateful for that. I just want him to jump on the club track so bad, because I know once he jumps on the club track,
it'll blow up.
And I heard that he was like looking at club tracks.
G-Eazy was?
No, Drake.
Oh,
I
was yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, I got confused there. I was like, you really?
I thought you were talking about G-Eazy too.
You really care if G-Eazy?
Oh, sorry. No, no. Like
that's going to change the game. No.
No, that ain't going to change.
You're right. I mean, Drake on a club track, for sure.
Well, he tried almost with the Khaled one, right? That was more like juke,
to
Chicago juke.
To the max. That
never went anywhere.
It was like a little bit of drum and bass, a little bit of this.
It was a lot going on with that.
Sonically, it's a really cool record. It wasn't like never hitting like that.
I like his vocals.
I love it too.
It should have went more Jersey.
Plus college, a little dance when the drop happens. Like, you know,
I think it was too much. Sometimes songs are too much for the people to process. They don't get it.
Definitely.
But if you get like a simple track like I'm the Ish, remember Kanye, if you do something like that, I feel like people can rock with that, because this is, you know, 808s and bass.
The younger kids, like, I feel like there's like, all right, the Philly club sound, Jersey club sound, Baltimore club sound, and everything like that. Like, are the younger kids as into it as like say 6 years ago, I'm not saying it's falling off, but it's
not as big as it was before, but this is what it is, right? I still like keep up with what's going on with the kids. They, you know how our club track, the ones we liked, were always like 140, 145 BPM. Mm-hmm. Now they like their songs at 180, 165. They like it super fast.
Really? Like the one that was like We Are Young, the
Vibe or even
faster
like Telly Tells
the Fuck It Up Challenge. Shout out to DJ Telly Tells.
So I don't know, let's take it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been DJing since you were what, a baby, right?
Yeah. Fresh out the womb.
You were born with a turntable.
So a little background, like your father was a DJ or a rapper?
My father was a rapper. He used to do like rap with like Jay-Z, Jeff, of course Cosmic Kev.
Right. Now him and Cosmic Kev were in a group, right? Or no?
Yep, they were in the group. Yeah, he used to do they used to be in a group, Perry P. So that's how I knew Cosmic Kev, and because Cosmic Kev grew up right across the street from my mother.
Like, okay.
They used to live across the
street. What part of
West Oak Lane.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I was born and raised in West Oak Lane. I lived in Mount Airy as well. And then we moved to Jersey. I lived there. Then we moved back to Philly. So, right. So I kind of grew up around all of that. So when my father passed away, I was actually at the radio station with Cosmic Kev. He was like, you know, giving me, you know, little ins and outs of radio and stuff, because I had just started DJing, and I got the call that my dad was in the hospital. So my dad committed suicide.
Oh, sorry.
So when I went to the hospital, there was really nothing we could do it at that time. So when I came back, I seen Kev a few days later. He said, "I got you. I'm gonna do it for Grand Tone." That was nice. My dad's rap name. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna do it for Tone. So, like, Kev kind of put me under his wing, and that's how I linked up with Cosmic Kev. And also, he has a friend named Brock. Because Brock. Oh,
yeah. Brock the Raymond. Record Brock?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. I used to.
Key Holders Brock. Shout out to Brock.
Yeah, Brock. They all grew up with my family.
Okay.
So, Brock told Kev, like, yo, Tone's daughter, you know, she DJing. You should check her out. She's trying to get into DJing. And Kev was like, all right, bring her up. And that's kind of how it all started.
Yeah.
You must have got on the radio, I want to say probably like, what, 2005, 2004, around then?
I remember you used to
shop in Armand's.
I used to work there too. Met before, but not, that was like 15 years ago.
I remember coming in there, and I remember around the time when you was like starting to intern there and get like little little show here and there. Like, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I used to go to Armand's. That was like an every week spot. Like,
right, for sure.
Shout out to DJ Amir.
Yeah. But that was the thing. It's like, I remember you guys was kind of coming up at the same time.
Yeah, me and DJ Amir, and then we DJed at Sneaker Villa. That was the thing. Sneaker Villa was everything to us. Like, what? When I was in school up near Pittsburgh, and I would come down every single weekend. I used to work at the library and get your little college money at the library, and I would spend that money every weekend to get on the train with records. And my turntables, because I took it everywhere I went. They were so banged up. I still got them.
Yeah.
But just a DJ at Sneaker Villa for store credit.
Yeah.
And I think I got like $50 store credit, $150 store credit, and I DJ for 8 hours.
Oh, my God.
I DJed at the Adidas store on South Street for store credit once.
Oh. I used to sell my store credit. Yeah. I used to be like, I called my uncle like, yo, I got 150 store credit. What you want? But I would get that money and I would apply it to the next week when I wanted to come down. And coming from Pittsburgh on a train to Philly was, I think that was like an 8 hour ride.
So you went to college out there?
Mm-hmm.
Were you DJing out there at that scene? Or
no, I went to this. The school I went to was like right next to Pittsburgh. It's in Greensburg. It was Seton Hill. And we had, it was like a Catholic school. It was no parties up there at all, period.
It's funny because I went to Newman in Aston, but they're like sister schools. Like, my mom worked there, so she was like, you can go here. She gave me like a list. And I thought it was Seton Hall, the basketball school. I was like, oh, I want to go to Seton Hall. And they were like, no, it's Seton Hill.
Seton Hill. It's Seton Hill. They were like, you'll go to Seton Hall? That's a guy. I said, no, Seton Hill. H-I-L-L. Not Hall. Hill.
I'll just stay local. Then I'll go.
So I went to Seton Hill. I went there for all the way up until I was about to be a senior. And then I got a job at Power 99. My mom was so mad. I left. I was like, I got to do this. I want to work. I want to do radio.
Yeah.
So,
how's she feel about it now that you're DJing for Barack Obama and stuff you know what I'm saying? Like,
they all, her and my aunt, they say it all the time. They're like, you know what, we wanted you to do something different. You knew what you wanted to do and you kept up with it, and look at you now. So
yeah, my parents are still like,
they're still pissed off.
When are you gonna get a job, man?
benefits now, are important.
They've seen the ups and downs, so they, you know, it's not quite as like, I got my.
That's a big
story.
Moment, though, right? That's like a pretty great moment when your parents kind of like understand what you're doing and like respect it and give it.
It was hard.
It was blessing.
Yeah, it was hard. It was like, I would when I came back from school, I would like stay in my grandma's house because I'm like, I don't want to hear my mom. She goes, so she goes, this house is a mess. Clean this house up. I don't want to hear that all day. Yeah. Turn that music off. You running up my electric bill with all that music playing downstairs. Turn that radio down. Da, da, da. So I said, oh no, I got to get out of here. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but she appreciates it now, and she's happy. She's happy for my whole family. She's happy for me.
That's what's up.
Mm-hmm.
So what slots do you do now on the radio?
Oh, slots. I do the morning show.
Every morning,
6 a.m. mix and 9 a.m. mix, and then I do Friday night 7 p.m. till 10, Saturday 9 p.m. till 2, and Sunday 9 to 12.
Yeah,
every
that's
day.
Usually.
So which ones are the driving? Are these all? Are some of them pre-recorded or some of them live?
They're all live, Joe. What are you talking about? They're all live.
Like, even like the morning Johns. Like,
how's getting used to that? To DJing at 6 a.m.
It's cool. You got to get up at 5 in the morning or, 5 to get there, like 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but yeah, it's cool.
When do you sleep?
Oh, I sleep. I'll sleep in the car. I sleep anywhere. As soon as I pull up to the house, if I crash, I just fall asleep.
You sleep when you can.
Yep. I sleep anytime I can. Before we came here, I would sleep in the car for like an hour.
Nice.
Yeah, then I said, oh, let me go get in there and change so I can come see you guys. So,
appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
I sleep when I can. Yep, and then I got to take my son. He got to go to school. I got to pick him up from school, and it's a lot, but I make it happen. Yeah.
Good energy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it. I take naps. I just take naps.
Yo, after I had my son, naps was out of those.
Yeah, see, that's what I talk. I don't have any kids, so I'm like, I still take naps.
I used to take naps all the time. I used to take naps before my parties. Mm-hmm. I used to take naps just when I wanted to lay down. Now it's like...
It's a wrap.
No, he no doesn't let you. I have to play all day, and then I go do my parties. When I come home, if he's up, sometimes he'll wait up for me to come back, like 3 o'clock in the morning. It's still playtime. And then he's hungry, and then we sit in the kitchen until like 5 a.m. So, yeah, it's pretty rough.
Are you doing a lot of clubs now, or are you just radio mostly?
No, I do. I'm somewhere every weekend.
Oh, for the radio, right?
No, not for the radio. Yeah, I do. You're
doing a lot of events, like big things.
I do a lot of clubs, but I do a lot of events too. I kind of stopped doing so many clubs. Like, I'm real picky about what clubs I do. Mm-hmm. A lot because of what's going on now. You just don't want to be anywhere. So, I'm real picky about it, but I'm working every weekend. So, and I do different places all the time. I'm not a resident anywhere.
I just saw you promoting on your Instagram something for some big thing on the Parkway.
Yeah, Wawa Welcome America, 4th of July. I'll be spending out there. And I've been doing a lot of that too.
Oh, like, so that's just coming up?
Yeah.
Oh,
The 4th of July, you know, and they do the fireworks and they have a concert and all that. I'll be doing.
Oh, yeah, the big 4th of July.
4th of July, I'll be DJing out there.
And you just did your own, the Diamond District event.
Ooh, that was a headache. I did the Diamond District at the Fillmore. That was a headache. But we're going to do it again. I'm going to do it again. I'm not going to stop. I started it. I'm going to finish it out. And
your own party that you're putting together?
That was one of the most difficult things I've ever done. I've done clubs. You can pack a club out, but trying to like get people in a big arena like that with like no really major headliners, it's difficult. You know what I mean? If you know, when you call in something to concert, you gotta put on the show. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I learned a lot and it was fun. And we're gonna do it again. Yeah.
Hey, that's a lot of things that like start off like that.
I know, Joe. I was calling Joe I felt like I was calling you a lot, just getting advice. And anybody that's ever done concerts, I was getting advice from them, trying to figure out what and what not to do.
What's your vision for it? Like, what was the main thing behind it?
My initial vision, I wanted to do the Diamond District for years now, but I wanted it to be like a big festival. That's what I really wanted it to be. But I know, like, with everything else, you got to crawl before you walk.
Yeah, grow.
So I knew that the first one wasn't going to be super, super huge. But I knew as time went on, it would just get bigger and bigger. So, but that was my main idea for it. And somebody had came to me and we revisited it. And they were like, yo, we can help you put that together. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of help putting it together. And,
next time you get on the phone, go do 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 do. Yo, Nikki.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
get over here.
So once you get the first one out the way, you kind of get you got leverage to do another one, because this is different from just doing clubs and doing a party. I want to do an actual show.
Like
so
an event.
Yeah, I want to do an event. So we'll do the next one bigger and better.
That's up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, planning parties is crazy. I haven't done that in a while. I can't like.
I used to do my birthday party every year, and those were a piece of cake compared to the Fillmore. you know what I mean?
That's a lot of pressure. That's definitely a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure. So it was...
Pressure makes diamonds.
Yeah,
boom. No pun intended.
High five.
you don't back away from the pressure.
Yeah, I don't back away from at all. So it was tough. It was sometimes I was like, oh my God, why did I do this? But then it was like, we had a few hiccups. Like, I'm sure everybody who's planning an event like that will have a few hiccups, but for the main part, it was good. It was a good turnout. We had a lot of fun, and it's over, and we're gonna do it again, like I said, next year. Yep.
And you were just playing at Penn's Landing a couple weeks ago, I think.
Yep. For a station event, Peace on the Street.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We did Penn's Landing. They had Light Skin Keisha and Cowboy out there, and the day I brought out, like, I love doing Peace on the Streets because I like the wherever we do we. At Power 99, we do Philly, Jersey, and Delaware. So whatever city that I do, I make sure I get the biggest artist from that city to come out locally.
Okay.
To show love to the local artists.
That's a good question then. So what's like the poppin' local artist that got the nice buzz right now?
Yeah, we were just talking Sim Santana last week.
Yeah, Sim Santana, Rocky, of course. And well, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah, I don't want to forget anybody. I want to.
Cool. I'm gonna end it.
Shut up. Yes, they will. I'm gonna end it with saying this a lot, but definitely Rocky and Sim Santana. They got a huge buzz right now, mm-hmm. for sure. And I'm working with an artist. Her name is Mecca, and she's on the come up too. But there's a lot of artists out here right now. They be popping up out of nowhere, but mm-hmm. they're killing it right now. This is a good time for the city.
Are there any younger artists or they're messing with club at all? Like in how they're doing it, or like where we at with club music, Diamond Cuts? You and I have been, we've been putting a lot of work into this.
You just did a Megan Thee Stallion, right?
Remix.
I saw mm-hmm. her on your Instagram. Right?
I would say a lot of the kids now, they don't find joy in making like a whole bunch of party music like they used to. There's no more DJ, no Swizzy Max out here anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or Hit 'Em.
But you brought up Telly Tells. I feel like I like, you know.
I love Telly Tells. Yeah. Jersey, the DJs, they making party music like crazy. Mm. But Philly is like, you know, it's not. Yeah, they just stopped. They doing other things. They want to be the next Lil Uzis or the next, you know what I mean, the next hottest
rapper.
I love
that you call it party music, too. That's a Philly thing, too.
It's party music. Yeah, play some party music.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, we're in a party. What are you talking about?
It was like Baltimore Club or Jersey, but it's like
party Baltimore Club, Jersey.
But they still want the party music, though, right?
Like mm-hmm. Oh, parties yeah. For sure, yeah. Like, yeah, when I'm at, like, Sweet 16s, if I do a Sweet 16 or whatever, they're asking for their party music.
And what about them classics, them OKs and pick 'em ups and stuff like that?
Is yep,
that
still,
that's
yep.
still rings?
So now that's when you get to the 21 and up clubs uh-huh. or you're 25 yeah. and they want to hear the OKs and the watch out for the big girls. And
the younger kids just want to kind of hear remixes of contemporary stuff kind of more than anything?
No, the young kids, they still want to listen to Nike Man. And they still want to listen to the Swizzy Mix. And then, like I said, they got
the RL joint, the Meek joint.
The RL, yep. Shout out to DJ RL.
Shout out to DJ RL.
Mm-hmm. And they want to hear those club songs that I told you that'd be at like 180 BPM. We'd be like this. keep up.
Yeah,
but
you can like mix that with regular hip, like twerk. You're getting up there to where you can just double time mix it with 100 BPM shit.
So that's the thing. Yeah, the songs they love are super fast right now. So yeah, they still love
it. Who's producing that stuff? Where's that coming from?
I don't even know. It's not one person. It's like they'll pick one song from one person and then another song from another person. You remember how it used to be?
Right.
Yo, we love DJ Hit 'Em, or we love RL tracks, or we love Swizzy Mix tracks, or we love DJ Tiz.
Or Get 'Em.
Or Get 'Em. It was like all that they had. They had collections
right.
of music that you could play a whole set of. Now it's like just the same way hip hop is. There'll be one artist that has a song right now mm-hmm. and another artist that have another song at another time. So it's so hard to keep up with it.
And these are Philly producers that are coming?
Some of them are Philly. Most of them are Jersey. Yeah. I don't say most are Jersey. But yeah, it's still out there. It's not as, I wouldn't say it's as big as it was before, but it's still there.
It's
like
still there.
People still listen to it. They still are tuned into it. I think that
you work with Lil Taj a lot, right?
I love Lil Taj.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, when I wanted to start making club music, Lil Taj was the person that showed me how to actually do it, because I played it for so long,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know how to make it sound right. So Lil Taj, he'll be like, and we had just met at Diamond District, and we've done like
oh, really?
Five or six songs.
Yeah, you guys have done a lot of
songs together.
Yeah.
And the first time we met was at Diamond District. That was this year, and which was so crazy. And we have a super like great relationship. And he was like, I like that song you did, because I was sending my songs first. I still send him my songs first. He was like, I like that song, but you gotta tweak this here, do this there, do that there. And after that, I just been on go. Like, I'm like, oh, that's it? This is easy. You know?
I think I need one of them lessons, man.
Yeah.
I never made the trend. I used to make a lot of Baltimore club shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I had the formula for that easy, like the break, the boom, 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 boom. But once the Jersey sound, I never like latched on to that.
Yeah,
like,
but
you know, like
make
that
a little more staccato,
yeah,
a little more choppy.
There's more technique to it, honestly. Yeah. Like Baltimore club was very easy to make, I felt like, but like I never.
And I feel like this with club music. Once you got your template down,
right, then you crank them out.
So, and they say I do it the harder way. I use Logic, like a lot of producers mm-hmm. using like Ableton and all of these other
things. And young kids use Fruity Loops.
Fruity Loops.
Fruity Loops is a great program.
Fruity Loops, yeah. I'm use Logic, so I'm actually tapping out every single instrument of the you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, so if I was to get on Fruity Loops, I'd probably be knocking joints out like every day. Like, yeah. Boop, boop, boop.
How much
boop,
time boop. Do you really get to spend in the studio these days?
I make all my tracks in the car. Mm. I make all my tracks in the car. While my son's at school, I'll sit in the car.
Wow, that's a grind.
Because that's my personal time. Like,
yeah, a car is a special place.
Yes. Because when do people hear music? When they in the car mm-hmm. most of the time. So I'll when he's in school, I sit in the car.
Wait, a parked car?
A parked car.
This is amazing.
Yes. I never told anybody this. When he's sitting in school, I sit in a parked car. I'll like go drop him off. Then I'll maybe go around the corner, get something to eat, sit back in my car. Pull my laptop open. I got my laptop here because I just picked them up. I didn't want to leave it in the car. It's over there, like yeah. Where I make my beats on. Yeah. And I sit there and I make tracks and I hook my aux cord up in my car. And that's how I do it.
That's great.
I never
yeah. car test. Good, car test yeah. is the most necessary thing with a new track. Period.
Right.
Yes. So when you go in the studio, what you do when you finish? You take it in the car and you listen mm-hmm. to it, right? Just yeah. to make sure it sounds good. And yeah. you listen to it in the studio. You want to make sure it sounds good everywhere.
Right.
And I have a Jeep, and the system in there is not the best.
Right.
So I like to make tracks on systems that are not the right. best, because when you get a good system, it's like, oh shit, this doing not. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Right. So I make all my songs in the car, and I think the last time I've been in the studio to make a record with me was probably 2 months ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Man, you cool. don't really need it. That's good. That's good stuff.
Yeah. I got the cord, plug the cord in the, what do you call it? I'm going to bring it right now. No, I plugged my laptop cord in.
Aux.
No, the power cord.
A power inverter for your laptop.
Mm-hmm. I plugged it in my little cigarette joint.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It used to be cigarette. Now it used to be. Now it's just a plug.
It's a plug. Yeah. My cigarette thing don't even work. Whatever, but not the cigarette thing. What am I talking about?
No, that's what they used to be, but now they don't make them anymore.
Yeah, it's just a plug. But yeah, I do that and I'm just knocking tracks out. That's what I do. That's my free time.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Good. I need to get into a program like that, like some type of regimen. I bought the Ableton Push thinking mm-hmm. that was going to make me like super producer. I still don't do shit.
See, yo, sometimes we get caught up in just buying stuff to like, if I
thought
get
that
this,
would motivate me to kind of like.
That's what you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like getting a gym membership. If I get this gym membership, yeah, totally. I'm going to the gym every day. Totally. No, you're not. You just got a membership.
Right. I've not been. I've not been to the Bellevue in a long time.
Yo. Yeah, I tried to work on that. Like, I just took my first ever piano lesson like last week. I'd never done any of that. Yeah, yeah. Have you done any of the like classic kind of get the foundational music stuff down?
I used to play the flute. Okay. I still have my flute.
Like Lizzo?
Yeah.
We were just talking about
right?
that.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to play the flute. Like I recitals and everything.
Oh, okay. You were into it big time.
Yeah, right. Big time. And I wanted to get into piano because I felt like that would make me a better producer, mm-hmm. knowing keys, because a lot of the times I just go off of what I hear, and producers that do it on a higher level, they're like, you're out of key. This synth is out of key. And I'm like, it sounds great. Right. What do you mean?
You like you think you're doing fine. Then you talk to someone who really knows music and you're like, you realize how over your head.
But that's what I do. Every
it kind of does, but it doesn't
at the same time. So every time I do a song, and I think that's what slowed me down with production, because I overthink a lot of things. But every time mm-hmm. I do a record, if I do a club record, I send it to Taj first. Taj, what you think of this? Mm-hmm. Oh, this is hot. Let me jump on this. Or this is hot. You know, switch this part up. Right. Whatever. If I do an actual track, I'll send it to, there's a producer. Her name is Jamil. He worked with, like, Pop Wanzel and Oak. And he's, like, super good with pianos. He knows about keys. Mm-hmm. And he'll be like, Diamond, that's out of key. And I'll be sitting here, I need to take piano lessons. I'm trying to figure this out. But yeah, I definitely wanted to get into piano lessons just to know.
Yeah,
there was this guy that I used to go to at my grandma's church. And like,
that's when you got to go to the old heads.
Okay. Yeah, this guy I used to go to the church, and he would just, he would teach me, you know, keys and stuff like that. But I didn't go enough to really get it down. I need some, probably need somebody to come to me because I can't.
Yeah. I'm sure you could find that easily.
Yeah.
Just like put it on the list of shit you got to do. You know?
Yep. Yep. You know, maybe I'll like split that between the time that I'm actually making tracks in the car to take time to go somewhere to take a quick piano lesson, you know, a few days out of the week. That
or just invite somebody to come to the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring a piano.
Yeah. Bring my big keyboard. I bought this big ass keyboard and I never use it. Just like how you bought the. Yeah. So.
Yeah. What's you could double and get him lessons. Yeah. And learn together when he gets
that's smart.
You know what I mean?
So I was sitting here like, I should put him in something for the summertime, like swimming lessons.
But he might be a little too young now, but who knows? You could try it out. Yeah, I'm sure he'll like it.
He loves music. Four.
He loves music.
He likes to DJ, press buttons, and, you know, kids like press buttons.
Yeah.
But he does it. But I feel like he does it just to bother me, but, you know, just to get on my nerves. But
what, I like talking about, like, kids get it. What was the first song, I like people asking people this, that you remember liking as a kid, or your first like musical memory, or one of them where you're like,
oh, that is really good. I cannot
You don't have a specific one?
No, I don't have a specific one. I know all I remember, the first CD that that I bought was Aaliyah At Your Best.
Okay.
Single. That was the first CD that I've ever bought.
Yeah.
Other than that,
was first, I mean, were you getting record pool records from Kev at this point? Or like, what was the first record you ever bought?
Yeah, so you always had like hip hop in your life.
Yeah, so.
For someone like my age, maybe like that was more when I was like 5 or 6, I started, like, it became like, you know.
When I started loving music, I'm gonna take it back. It's like Britney Spears. I used to listen to Britney Spears all the time. Mm-hmm. What? The Oops, I Did It Again. Yeah. All that. I used to listen to that all the time. I was a super huge Lil Kim fan.
Right.
Super.
So late 90s.
Yeah, super huge Lil Kim fan. Aaliyah, of course. But that, as far as music, that's as far as big as my brain can go when it comes to like what I loved.
I bought like a Michael Jackson Thriller tape at a flea market
when
I was like 6 or 7. And then my dad got me the Nucleus Jam On It. You know that song?
Jam On It, of course. Yeah. Uh-huh.
That was like the first song I remember calling. I had to be like 6 years old. Calling the radio station so I could tape it off the radio. And they never played it when I would try to get it. Power 99. I was probably calling Power 99.
You probably would.
Yeah, I'm sure. What else would I be calling?
Yeah, right.
Playing anything. That's the thing. People don't realize, like, the radio, there was a time when playing hip hop on the radio was a rare thing. Like, even on like Power 99, you know what I mean?
Really?
It would be more like R&B, you know what I mean? And like, cause there was a thing, like, old heads didn't like rap like that. You know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah. Dang, you schooled me on something. I didn't know.
I mean, from what I understand, like, I would sit and tape, and I talked about this before, like, Chaka Khan, I Feel For You had the rap at the beginning.
No, you're probably right because, I believe you because you know, but Kev always tells me about like his first, show was like a hip hop show, and the only time you would make a specialty show is if you
Lady
wasn't playing
B.
it.
Lady B was the same
Wow,
time.
I never like, really thought of it
Sunday
like that.
Afternoons, it was like, that's when you listen to the radio to hear rap.
Wow.
You had to like sit down and schedule it and tape it. Because the rest of the time was like, you know, Chaka Khan, Michael Jackson, Prince, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Wow. Dang.
Now, hip-hop runs the universe.
Yes, it does. It runs everything. You got EDM DJs trying to do hip-hop music.
Oh, whatever. They make, like, trappy shit. Like, Lil Uzi Vert was on, a Steve Aoki joint or David Guetta or something like that.
And then I think, did Marshmello got a song with Tyga and all of
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They
yeah.
like, oh.
Tyga and Chris Brown or something?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep, so they trying. They moving over.
What was the first parties you DJed? The first time you DJed in front of people. What was that like? What was it?
Well, the first part, it was a basement party.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a basement. Actually, no, it wasn't. It was like a party at some banquet. And the DJ was an older guy. Mm-hmm. He wasn't playing the songs. He went, Tina, go get your DJ equipment. Come bring it down here.
So what'd you cut? At one bag?
No.
One big bag or like mini crates?
No.
He didn't have none of the new stuff people
like. Yeah, none of the new stuff. I forgot what DJ that was. But Nikki and none of the new stuff.
This is all vinyl era, right?
This is vinyl.
So like how many records my did you bring to save the day?
I bought three crates. Okay. Three milk crates.
What was the banger then? What saved the
three,
party?
Three
crates. Ooh, I can't remember. You got my brain. I can't remember.
What years was it? I'll probably figure it out.
It was like 2000. It was like 2002, 2001, okay. Something
so like
that.
In Here, Work It?
Yeah, you like How I Here, Work It. The Nori Jones.
Nothing. Yeah.
Those records. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what those were the bangers back then. But
I always say that was like one of the easiest times to be a club DJ because there was just so much bangers like that. All the Neptunes, Timberland production. That like, was, you could just play for like
that's
there was
when
no
I
like
started.
Having to work stuff in and get out real quick and just drop the chorus because everyone's gonna get bored. Like you just bang, 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 bang.
Yep. There was a DJ he asked me, he just got into DJing and he watched me DJ like last month. He was like, "How are you blending the records without looking at the laptop?" I said, "What?" I said, "I started on vinyl."
Yeah, you know, Serato like, use my ears.
Yeah, use your ears. But Serato came out maybe a couple years after, like around that era, like early 2000s or whatever. Mm. So I wasn't in the vinyl era too heavy, but I was in it enough to know, like, you know, about cutting your fingers and carrying crates up records.
Now, if you were coming at Armand's every week, you were putting in the work.
So these, a lot of these DJs are reading waves and all of that, and I'm following BPMs, and I don't do that. I just go off of you know, I hear a song. Oh, this song.
I'll use it as a cheat to make things like faster.
Yeah.
You know? Like if it's like the number says one.
Yeah, that's no. That's no problem. Right. Yeah, that's no problem. But
you don't rely on.
I don't rely on. Yeah, because and then with the fun, it's not a funny thing, but it's the interesting thing is when I'm DJing and another DJ is coming, or coming behind me, and they look over to see what BPM I'm on, so they get to their BPM, and I'm like, this is crazy. This is not even going with the flow of the party.
Right.
Yeah, it would be like a up-tempo R&B song, and we just playing some crazy hype hip-hop, like Uproar, Lil Wayne, you about to go to a R&B song just because it's the same tempo. That's where it kind of fails you at. Like,
but that's also where you see just like the inexperience of other people and not knowing how to really read crowds and not really having that.
Mm-hmm.
The vibe, you know, knowing the songs, knowing the vibe,
and knowing how to transition and keep energy up. Bring it
but
down.
But one thing you do that I noticed, like you're not afraid to play stuff fast.
Hell no! Every time 16 plus 16 every time. Fuck the 8.
So that's like, so did you do that? Like was I like, yo, this is? Were you always thinking like I want to do this, or did it just kind of naturally?
It was an accident.
Yeah.
It was an accident, and I didn't think anything was wrong with it. And people were like, "Why you play the record so fast?" And I'm like, "I am.
Cause I'm hype."
Yeah,
but
I'm
the
hype.
Thing is I hear like other DJs do
it. Yeah, they do it.
Yeah,
I know. So I keep the. It was all of. I always like a lot of energy in my sets.
Yeah.
So if I'm going fast, I'm keeping it fast. Yeah, all the DJs doing, not, I ain't gonna say all of them, but a lot of the DJs are doing it now. Like, they'll keep their records at, you know, 16 or it'll be super fast. But it was an accident. I didn't do anything as far as my DJing goes was not done on purpose. It was done by accidental, you know, reasons. But
I still kind of, like, have a limit. Like, I'm like 10 BPMs faster. So I don't like to go. Mm-hmm. That's like the weird thing in my head where like I don't want to go.
I know a lot of
it depends on the song too. Some songs sound funny. Other songs it sounds better. You know?
I just don't believe in slowing a record down. Like
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care how much you have to speed a record up to say maybe even match another record or anything like that. I don't care how fast a record goes, but don't ever slow it down below like flat before zero.
Yeah, it's funny how that is so much more noticeable. I think than speeding something up.
Yeah, it is because you like. You know, what the hell?
And then I wonder, like, if people even notice it anyway. Like, people who don't have DJ ears, like, do
people that don't have DJ ears, I don't think they notice it. I think the DJs notice it. But sometimes it's less noticeable when you're blending from one record to another record, like you said. And if it's not too noticeable, like, if it's, what can I say? If it's, like, if you're DJing, like, a 90 BPM record and you wanted to go all the way down to 80 or 75, that might be a little noticeable, you know what I mean? But some records, you can probably get away with it, but that's another rule that I have, too. I don't like to slow it down too much. You know, making it go fast, that's me. Like, all day, if I come in and the DJ got it on 8, I hit that 16 button shift, whatever, tempo change, or I move the tempo up or whatever. I don't do a pass 50 though. They're 51. No, yeah. We ain't so touching crazy. That. I'm like 50. One time I was DJing at a party and I hit 16. I thought I did, and I hit 16 and I hit 50, and I was like, oh shit, this is too fast.
Yeah.
I said, what the hell?
On them one CDJs, it goes like 100, and then there's like the 100. One where it's like it stops playing.
Yeah.
It's for like, real. It's
like, yeah. The newest pioneers, and like I'll put that on that if I'm really got to stretch something. But I try and do plus 16 is a good way to
That's
keep it.
That's it. I stop at my 16, so everybody that get mad about me. Some people were like, yo, you speed the record up and get me hype. But 16 is my limit. I'm not going past 16.
Yeah. That's another thing with music and melody. Like certain songs, when they're way up, it sounds funny. But if it's just like a drum, then mm-hmm. it don't matter. That's a perfect one to do it. You know?
Yep. It's funny that you said that the slowing the record down, because it's a record, you know, Simon Says, Megan Thee Stallion, and at the end it's just drum
That's
and
the one
kick.
With Juicy J?
Juicy J. It's like it's drum and kick at the end of it. And yesterday I was DJing and I had put it way past the zero, but you could not really tell because it was just drum and kick. It wasn't anything else to it. When about to sound a record come on, I'm still, it's a zero by then. You know, you could juice it up. You know what I mean? Make it do what it do, but yep. Yeah.
This is the
yep, now at the very
the end of that. Yeah.
What's up? Is a lot of the Megan Thee Stallion stuff working for you in the club?
Yeah, this right here.
This does.
Yeah. No.
Oh, this is the drum part.
This is the part that was slowed down or
sped up? Yes, slowed down. Oh. Yep.
Yeah, but if it's like that.
This is not, you can't tell, yeah. Right. And I just had it looped. But Megan, people, they know she hot, but her music gets reaction in the club, but it's not super huge just yet.
Right.
But I give it another week or two.
Like Big Ol' Freak people know, because that guy's like a heavy rotation.
Big Ol' Freak, they know, of course. But then the songs of her whole mixtape, I listen to it almost every day. Like,
it's all stuff that could be big. Like, it's all like twerky.
It's going to happen. Yeah. The Simon Says, the Cash, the song she got with the baby called Cash Shit.
Yeah, that one is kind of, that one's hitting.
Yeah, that one's crazy. And what's the other one? Ratchet.
Ratchet. I'm surprised that's not a bigger hit already.
Yeah.
No. Her songs
just
are.
Let's get Ratchet. Let's get Ratchet. Chorus. It's definitely the summer of the ladies taking over.
It's Hot Girl Summer.
Airwaves. The Hot Girl Summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the official title of it. When we look back 20 years on this time.
Also, when we title this episode, we're going to call it Hot Girl Summer. with DJ Diamond Cuts. But it definitely is. It's cool. There's like a new female rapper popping up like on everybody's radar every single month, as opposed to like waiting from Nicki to Cardi, like, you know what I'm
saying?
Then
nobody's like, waiting for anybody.
Nobody's waiting for anybody. There's just new people coming up all the time that are just like really grabbing it.
You like the Megatron, the Nicki?
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's just like, it's easy. You know what I mean?
I hate
like,
social media because they want you to hate it so bad.
Oh, it's, no.
Yeah, they're like, this song is horrible. I was expecting more, but the song is not bad at all.
To me, it's just like, someone described it as safe, which makes sense. But that I'm good with safe. Right
I'm good
now.
With safe too. Yeah. It is a safe record. Mm-hmm. It's not nothing out of the box. It's nothing that she hasn't done before.
Right. There's a fun record that's like seems to be like a lot of the seriousness that's been like a whole part of her over the last like couple of years. It just seems to like shed that, and it just seems like it's a lighthearted, fun record.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe that's exactly what she needs
Trina,
to make
that
right
one
now.
With Trina too. Yeah.
Oh, you like that song?
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah, we played that in here last week.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with that, though, honestly.
I don't know what's going to
I don't know if anybody remembers Project Chick.
That's what
original.
I was saying.
You
yeah.
know, like, not, it was, it's not the same.
But nowadays, I mean, if it sounds good, like, even with Saweetie when she did My Type with the Freaka League, right. I don't think a lot of people remember Petey Pablo Freaka
I've been bringing back Freaka League because of that, and people ride with it.
I'll be bringing back Freaka League just the hook, though. I can't.
Yeah. No, not the whole song.
Yeah, just the hook.
Yeah,
I've been bringing it back,
intro.
Too. Yeah.
Oh, right. That's a weird intro.
Oh, I don't get to all that. I get straight to that. I like it. Yeah. That's on the front. Yeah, you know. Yeah. But yeah.
Yep. It's pretty degrading song to women, to be honest.
I know, right?
Freakily?
I mean, that whole era was pretty much like stripper. What was it Chris Rock called it? Ralph said it was stripper instructions.
It's stripper instructions. Like yep.
How-to video.
Prepared us for the future. Now
we between ourselves refer to that era as the greens because of all those TVT records with the neon green sleeves.
Oh, yeah, the neon green with Lil Jon and the Eastside Boys. Took it back with that one.
Yeah. Petey Pablo was in there, but that wasn't a TVT, right?
No, that was a blue record.
No, that was a
Universal. It was a blue record. It was a blue sleeve. That was the blue sleeve, right? Am I right?
I think he was on the RCA.
The TI was on.
No, that's Atlantic.
No, that was Atlantic.
Petey Pablo was not on Atlantic.
Atlantic Records, TI.
Petey Pablo was RCA, wasn't he? No?
Yeah, it was a black sleeve.
Yeah, it was a regular, like, it wasn't much like the.
Wait, who was blue was Universal, though?
That was Nelly.
Nelly was blue.
The blue sleeves. Pastor Troy. I don't know why that came up.
Camera action.
I'm sitting here getting Petey Pablo mixed up with Pastor Troy. Because Cutting Up was on the blue sleeve.
Yeah, it was.
Are we cutting? Yeah, that's so funny. I was just in the gym and that came on and I was like, is that Pastor Troy?
Pastor Troy.
But it wasn't Are We Cutting? It was some song that I never heard before.
Well, Timbaland produced that.
That was off like a Fast and Furious soundtrack or something like that.
That song was hot. I love that song.
Yeah, that was a big joint.
Yeah.
Are you wearing Bugle Boy jeans? Hell no.
Yeah, that's when I started DJing.
Yeah, that's our Armand's era.
That's what we're saying is so cool right now about a lot of these records that are hitting this summer that they're all like resampling those records.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why
we need to go back and go look at some of them records. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, which ones can you tap into?
Because I know you've been playing Choppa Style since
Choppa
Style, right?
That's one of them records.
And that's the one
too,
like Trouble in City Girls samples Choppa Style. That new one.
And the Twerk. I wanted to
And Twerk. Yeah, exactly. They both sample Choppa Style. And then does the one about
Kaya?
That's also City Girls that do the Boy, back that back that ass up one. Which one is that?
Back that ass up.
There's one that's like, boy, you do something better, back that something up. Like there's a girl song that talk about.
Oh wait, I should know this. I'm trying to think who it is.
I played it the other night, but I'm just saying, like all of those songs from that era, they all getting reinterpolated and then turned into like new anthems, and it's just like that's the sound that everybody wants anyway.
Yeah, it works. It's for the club. What else is new that you're feeling that you're playing? What songs are you excited to play?
Megan Thee Stallion.
I was reading like you did an interview for Essence.
Is that Run Them Bands Up? City Girls and Trina.
That's the one. Yeah.
Run Them Bands Up.
Boy, you better do. Run Them Bands Up.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
I was so mad because I wanted to get that song clean and I never got that clean the clean version to that song. That was like the first.
DJ Tamil is the clean master.
For real? Oh, I need to. Cause no, I don't have time to sit there and do reverses or finding the instrumentals and muting it.
That's
something
you gotta worry about, right? So I don't even.
You ever have accidents and play dirty songs on
the
radio?
Hell yeah! I haven't had a lot. I would say I've had all the times I've been DJing. I think it was about 3 or 4 times that I slipped up and played one curse word, but it wasn't because of me. It was because when they sent the clean version, it would be clean, but they'll have like one curse word in it. You'd be like, oh my god,
where like someone rated, come running like in the room like, what are you doing?
It's like a PG-13 movie that says the F word one time.
You got that one slip up. That's it. It was a Drake song, 0 to 100. It was a clean version.
Yeah.
And he cursed at the end. And I always just cut it off before he get there. I think it was 0 to 100. The label sent out and they had like one cuss in it. But yeah, I'm really good with the cleans. I'm really good with making sure everything is clean.
Whenever I have to do something that's like outside that I got to worry about that, it's like I got to restock everything. Because I keep the cleans on.
I always wonder that, like for people that don't do radio or they don't have all clean versions. Yeah, not regularly. When you do an event, like some colleges want all clean music.
I just did that a couple months ago in Richmond. I had to do a college event, some daytime thing. It was real weird, but it was like, you got to have clean music. So I just basically went through and like, it just got my whole catalog and found clean versions.
Yeah,
but finding a clean version of Finito was not easy.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't easy.
It was not easy, but I finally found one.
You,
and
so
it wasn't,
you have one, right? You play Finito on the radio?
Yeah, but I play it, but that's one of those songs that is not for radio.
Especially the part about Jersey and everybody in Jersey listening to the radio.
Like, they love that song in Jersey, though. It's so weird. Like, we gonna shoot New Jersey weird. Up. Like,
that's
what?
A song, that's a weird okay. song to me, man. Like, Chief Keef got a lot of joints I like, but how that one became the joint that everyone likes, I don't know how.
Yeah,
that
I don't play that on the radio that much. Those, some songs that are really dirty or really got a lot of profanity in it, yeah. I don't touch it because it sounds bad on radio.
Right, it doesn't make sense. To be yeah. Like, I'm sleeping out everything.
Now, Act Up City Girls, I got to give it to them. The clean version to that is actually good. But
did they revoice
saying,
it?
Saying different words, or they just got...
No, like, the way they bleep it out, like, it's just, like, it doesn't sound too bad. Yeah.
Because I remember Get Low had, like, good revoices. Or like,
yeah, they had to redo it. Because
y'all like to see Tig Old Bitty.
Yeah, Tig Old Bitty. They don't do that no more.
Yeah, and sometimes that would be actually funnier, like we just said, like, than the original.
Yeah, the clean version just, like, that's better.
And
yeah.
There's always the argument about Snoop Dogg Sensual Seduction being better than Sexual Eruption.
So much better.
Oh, yeah, I don't even remember that, the dirty one too much. I know Sensual
right.
Seduction.
Yeah, Sexual Eruption just sounds like,
ew.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
No. It's like you're going to the hospital.
Yeah, like what?
Do you need some help?
Yeah, so when they
clean
did the
up
clean version.
Yeah,
right? So they did some justice to that one because I don't want to hear that eruption. Oh, what? Right. I don't want that.
Yeah, I don't think I even heard that version. Like, I've heard you guys talk about it, but I never. Yeah, Sensual Seduction's fine. I mean, you still play Sensual Seduction?
Nobody plays that.
Oh, yeah.
It's a terrible song.
I don't. The only it's a few Snoop Dogg songs I play.
I like that song because it was but that song was like part of that sound that Florida juke and vibe sound that was
vibe like, music, like T-Pain's Bartender and shit. Like
right,
that.
But there was like a whole underground world where
that was weird.
That was like
right?
actual sound. There was a
vibe music.
Ball Greasy. I remember that was one of the artists down there. It was just like a Florida thing.
Yeah.
And they just had this kind of weird light keys, old head music with like
with
one,
bass.
But
with
it was
a
like
little
120 BPM. And Sensual Seduction was the big version of like that sound. And that was
I'm the ish of vibe music.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah,
but that not much was made of the vibe music though, right?
No, it didn't really pop off like that. Mm. But it was a cool little thing. I don't know. Now there's like producers in that part of Florida, like what's that guy named Trey O'Fi? Like, you know that guy? Like, there's they're making club music in Florida now, but they're making club music that's got
like the old
like, I was trying to figure that out.
Old school chants on it and stuff. So it sounds barbecue music from Philly mixed with club music to make this kind of weird old head young person
that's
hybrid.
That's crazy because when I was in, you said in Florida, right?
Right.
Because I was in Miami and I heard a DJ played it on the radio, that type of sound.
And you were like, what is this?
I was like, what is this, club music?
Yeah, there's
Oh, we're going to have to research.
Yeah, right? No, that's what, with like Skeech or something or Seach or something.
Play something from what you just said.
Trey O'Fi?
Yeah.
Something off Trey O'Fi's like SoundCloud. He's always just remixing new stuff, but.
No, I was trying to figure out if he's from Miami?
No. Nah.
Or from Florida?
Some part of Florida.
I looked it up at one point. I was like, is this
guy from
Jersey? Well,
I mean, if his name is Trey O'Fi, then he's actually from Miami because that's 305 area code. That's what that means.
Mr. 305, not Pitbull.
Yeah. Play something.
I'm trying to remember that one. It's like Jess Jubilee had that Radio 1 Extra show, and she played some of her stuff, and it was really cool.
So it's like a little bit of Jersey,
line dancing.
Yeah.
But a little line dancing, a little like I'm saying, like Florida has these underground music traditions and stuff like
that. Miami bass is before all of it, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is like 1:30?
Yeah, definitely 1:30.
But it's like deceptive. It's not four on the floor. It's like stuttery. So you think in Florida there's like,
so I'm thinking,
like
I'm
a
thinking
bunch
that,
of old heads
well,
line
what I think
dancing
is that,
to this?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I think that the juke and the vibe stuff kind of evolved into like this.
Because, okay.
True.
Wait.
This is also stuff that's really big for people doing like dance videos.
Challenges and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
obviously. That's probably what they're going for. Like, we get a big challenge dance, then everyone will know
it. Yeah, everybody will know it, yep.
It's very Jersey influenced, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Definitely, for sure. I hear a little man in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are some of the more recent, like, Jersey stuff you're hearing, does it have that, you know, left foot, right foot, kind of like a lot of, like, the chants on it and stuff? Or are we going back to kind of just being, like, remixes and stuff?
I feel it's more remixes now. Yep.
That's what's missing. I think that's the original. Where Baltimore is missing from the equation these days, is because Baltimore was, I mean, like, think of songs like Dance My Pain Away. Like, somebody make something like that now. You know, something that
original, original song.
The DJs and all the, and like, you know, all the DJs now, they like to do remixes and stuff like that. But I also think it's important to do originals, because I know it's harder because you have to think of what, you know, what you want somebody to chant. But that's more important to me than remixes, because you can't do anything with remixes except for just having
it. You can't own it. You can't own it. You can't monetize it, really.
Yeah, when you go,
unless the label hired you to do it, and even then, like,
you ain't getting nothing.
You ain't getting nothing. You're not gonna get it.
They irk me. I'll be like, what? What? So, like, you know, when you go on Tidal and you go on, like, Apple Music, and you typing in your name. There is one way you can do a remix, though. Buzz, he's good with stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I was able to have some of my remixes on some of those playlists, like Apple Music or one of them. I can't remember what it was. And I forgot how we did it. But other than that, when somebody goes to look up your name, you want your music to pop up. You don't want a whole bunch of remixes. Like, you know, remixes is for SoundCloud, I feel like.
Yeah,
right.
You want your originals everywhere.
What's the name of your burner SoundCloud?
Oh, you know,
because that's where you're, like, whatever I'm, like, looking for your latest tracks, it's all on.
It's the remix. Yeah, SoundCloud.com. It's the remix. Yep, because
man, I'm surprised that name was available.
Right?
I know, I was surprised too. I'm like, what? No, because you get flagged too many times. You're like, all right, this is going to mess up with when I really put original music out.
Oh, is that your thought behind it?
Yeah.
Did you ever have a SoundCloud deleted?
No, I never had, but I had one more strike or something like that. You said you got one more strike, and then we're going to delete your SoundCloud.
I got deleted.
I got like one or two.
5 years.
It was the weirdest thing, too. It was like an underground hip-hop mix. So I was like, why?
Yeah, so I was like, so I said, let me, Tajay, so he was like, Diamond, you got to make a fake page. Like, not a fake one. You got to make an additional page, so if they chop that one, you still good. You still got your original. Because you have to have multiple pages. Now they,
I like that. Mm-hmm. Working around the system. But they're not as hard on people as they used to be, right?
It's not hard at all. Cause
it was like one period where everyone was getting killed.
I was getting flagged on Instagram, on SoundCloud, but now I'm not.
Yo, the other day, I was at Drake Night, and it was like the warm-up, and I was just like just starting, and I'm gonna go live. I never go live.
On the gram?
Yeah, I was like on the gram. I was like, I'm gonna go live. And I just put the phone like in the booth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of had like the backdrop behind me, and was just like playing some records and stuff like that. 3 minutes in, 4 minutes in, they turned me off because of copyright.
Oh, okay.
Oh, snap, for real?
From just DJing and just going
live. Well, you're playing the biggest artist out, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I wonder if like
did you play Beyonce or something?
Nah, but maybe if I played it like plus 16, they wouldn't have done that, you know what I'm saying? Like,
throw them off.
I learned that too, right? So when I used to do the remixes, I used to have like the original song play out in its original form, you know, nothing on it. And those used to get flagged. Mm-hmm. Now I be putting bombs, claps, everything in it. Sound effects, they can't. They don't. I think that might be another reason, so they don't catch it.
Huh.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But now I'm thinking, if I go live while I'm doing my radio set, they might cut me off. Yeah. Well, not really.
Maybe because you're
I'm talking so
on there that you might might just be talking just to prevent them from,
like, yeah, I never let the song read
right,
yeah,
so. Just well, to, just yeah, just to do, not so get
you,
it deleted.
Do you do that, just, is that like more on the radio or even in clubs? Do you feel like you have to do that, or people will start getting bored, or is it just something you want to do?
It keeps me energized. Yeah. Like when I do events, and if I can't talk, I get bored.
Okay.
I get bored because I like to interact with the crowd.
Yeah.
And even on radio, I'm still interacting because I might be tweeting or Instagramming at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So that keeps me going. Now, yeah. if I'm doing it and I'm not saying anything, I'm not interacting with anybody, I get bored.
So you yourself need to be just overstimulated and having a whole bunch of stuff to do.
Yeah, and I feel like sometimes it transcends over to the crowd. They're like, oh,
for sure.
Shit.
Yeah, I mean, nah, it helps a lot. And it's something like me, we said, I don't do it, but I'm like, I feel like I need like all my attention on like reading the room, getting the next track ready. Like, that's enough for my brain to handle. You know, I feel like when I got to do like Last Call or something like that, that's like a whole.
You like, oh my God, I got to think.
Last Call, and I'm still trying to mix, and I never bring a mic, so I got the headphones plugged into
the
mic.
Oh, yeah.
Your energy gets people hyped.
Yeah,
shit, though.
No, and it's such an important part of DJing that I probably like never, I always thought it was there.
There's other cities, though, where it's like, but more than 50% of the equation is your mic work.
But here's the thing, though. Mm-hmm. I think it's best when the DJ is doing it. For a while, it was always people hosting. You know what I mean?
A hype person.
They have too much to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A DJ does it, they know right at the right time. The
when
perfect
to do
time.
It. Because when you got a host, sometimes when I do events and they got a host, mm-hmm. when they see me, they bring their host up because they're like, oh, she's not going to talk. She's mm-hmm. just going to play records. I'm like, give me the mic.
They think that about you?
Yeah. Like people that don't know me. Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah. Like, say somebody comes from a different city and they come into Philly.
They don't know.
They don't know. They got their host. And I'm like, give me the mic. And they're like, oh, shit. Okay, she got it. And I'm on a mic. You see me, Joe. I'm on the mic and typing in my songs at the same time.
Yeah,
and I'm
that's a lot, man.
I guess it is.
But you get used to it.
You get used to it. I think I got used to it.
But also, you don't want nobody coming up and touching your mixer like hosts love to
do.
Oh,
what they
my
love.
God, man, no.
This part, I did a party 2 weeks ago, and this guy, when they seen that I was DJing, they're like, oh, it's Diamond, you know, Turnip Queen. They weren't from here. Mm-hmm. So I guess they wanted to save records for their DJ. And me, because I told them I can't go on late. I had to go on early because I had another event to do, right? So they want to save records for their DJ. And I don't play a whole bunch of... I'm not their type of DJ that plays a whole bunch of new records. Yeah. I don't do that. I'm going to take it back. I'm going to play the hypest records, whether it's old, new, or what. But I'm not going to go in and play a whole bunch of everything that's popping. So I'm playing older records, right?
You're not stepping on anyone's toes.
I'm stepping on nobody's toes. Crowd's getting hyped. No, Diamond, stop that on the mic. Stop that, Diamond, stop that. And I'm like,
excuse
what?
Me?
Who said this?
I ain't gonna say his name.
Okay, but what
was
a host?
It was a host. He was like, and I don't even remember his name. Yeah. But he was like, stop that, Diamond, stop. And I'm like, what?
Excuse me?
Like, no, I'm keeping this going. I'll keep going or whatever. The crowd getting hyped. But I think he was upset because he was trying to save that momentum for his DJ. And I wasn't even playing the biggest record. So he came up on the stage. Started touching the mixer, turning the joints down on the wrong parts of the song. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yo.
I was, when he started, I think I got on, it was a day party. I think I got on at like 9 o'clock. I was ready to go at 9:15. So when the other guy saw that he was getting on my nerves, and I'm sitting here trying to talk, interact with the crowd, and I got this dickhead over here doing whatever he wanted to do. So I think by the time 9:40 came, because I was only doing an hour set, I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
That's why you don't play the songs on the Grandmaster Flash Do Not Play playlist.
Yeah.
Oh, right. You heard about that? Yeah. I played before Flash. I did not get the playlist.
Huh.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
So when I'm doing a show, like when I'm doing like an event, a concert or something, sometimes I'll let the DJ know what I'm going to play.
Like
or whatever.
You got to let me have these.
Yeah, let me have these joints or whatever from doing that. But if I'm doing a party, I can go off at any... thing. Like if it's a DJ, you know, sometimes DJs, you know, before you get on, they like to show off. They like to play all of the hits. But that's cool with me too, because I'm like, you know, even if I do bring that song back, I'm gonna bring it back differently than what you did, because you just slamming them on trying to get them in.
Yo, I was so mad one time, like years ago. I was in Paris, right? And I shouldn't have been DJing at this club, man. It was all house, like Euro dance music, and they brought me out there. And like these dudes before me were like the promoters / like, I don't know. But it was that time when like all these like celebrity DJs were just like playing.
Lord.
And it was when Hey Ya had first came out. And like I had like a whole routine with it. And like this was like weird. Like I would get open. I start playing like oldies out of it and everything. He dropped that shit like just cold right before I got on.
He wanted to.
Killed me. Yep. And he didn't even do nothing with it. He just played it and then he like mixed out with something that didn't even fit with it. And I was just like, oh. They kicked me off the decks that night.
Really?
Yeah.
That was like a Vegas like type of situation?
Yeah. That's where crazy. We're like, yo, this dude, like these people want to hear like,
right,
and
right.
I'm like.
And you're playing Funk Box Party.
I never DJed in Paris before.
Yeah, I did a couple times. There was like a wave where, you know, we were all traveling a lot. But other times there have been great. But that was like the first time. That wasn't the first time. I went with Cosmo, but that was just a fun party. This was like a big deal. It was like some club Johnny Depp owned or something.
You know, that's...
Oh, snap.
It's like a rite of passage.
Viper though. Room.
Like, to get kicked off. Have you played Vegas before?
Nope. I played in Vegas, but not on my own set. But what do you mean they kick you off?
Because if you're not rocking it for the people that are buying bottles and stuff because you're being too weird or creative or whatever, like they'll be like, yo, we'd rather kick the DJ off.
And put our resident on.
Guy who's spending like 100 G's on bottles. And have him play whatever he wants to hear, like
so
Bon
there was
Jovi
just, there
or
was just, there was just a stretch for a few years where just one big producer DJ after another would have these horror stories about playing in Vegas and getting kicked off the decks.
Or Miami, anywhere even, like, where there's people buying.
It happened
the
to
bar,
Jazzy Jeff, and it was a big deal. I remember.
But you can see how that would happen, though, right? Like if someone who's like has a thing that they do,
they care about their revenue,
right? And they're gonna like.
Yeah, the,
but you can see how like it could get mixed up. Like you bring in a big name DJ, but maybe that big name DJ isn't the right person. Just because they have a big name, they might not be the right person. Like, I did not belong in that club,
right?
You know, like they should. Yeah,
I remember right at the tail end of that, it happened to DJ Shadow.
Yeah,
and then he posted, set.
Right,
but it was
you're like no one.
The most abstract like juke,
but
like IDM.
DJ Shadow,
what would you
do?
Yeah, book DJ Shadow, but that's not. Their mentality, they're just like, this is the name of this artist, DJ Shadow, has a big following, we'll bring him in, but he's not going to play a Katy Perry remix, like, right. So whatever it is that you're looking for, like, that's on them for trying to mix up art and commerce,
right,
and it being in Vegas, where it's literally just about the money and stuff, but
that's why you just hire DJs that can rock it and pay them, like, 10% of what
you're playing. Yeah, 10%, right, for sure, but do you guys still get paid when they kick you off the deck?
Oh, yeah, they still get paid.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't care. Kick me off.
Clock out early.
I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't talk about it or nothing. We could do this all the time. Y'all can always kick me off. Give me my money. Dude, I'm cool
I get kicked
with
off. She's like, I'm there once a month. I get kicked off.
I get kicked. Yeah, that'll be a thing. I get kicked off every month, but I get paid, so I'm good.
So what else you got coming up here? You got this 4th of July thing?
Yeah, 4th of July. And what else? I got something real big coming up. I can't speak on it yet. Yeah. So that's not happening until like November.
Okay.
Well,
I'll keep my November free.
Yeah.
Just block out that whole month. Fill it in later.
It has something to do with DJing, but then it doesn't at the same time. So it's gonna be interesting. And what else? Just a lot. Just parties and more producers. Yeah,
working
more music. I'm working on some. I'm about to drop an EP, but it's not gonna be club music. It's
okay.
gonna be like, you know, your typical hip hop R&B. Mm-hmm. Maybe one or two club songs because I have to.
Right.
But yeah,
mix it up.
I have to.
And
yeah.
You have like some artists like doing vocals on that, or is it?
Yeah,
you?
I got.
Because like, have you ever rap on a record?
Come on,
or anything like
I got
that?
Bars. I got bars.
You got bars.
I got bars.
Oh, like that.
No, but I got artists on it, but. Every time I wanted to do a hip-hop or R&B EP or, you know, your typical records, I would always try to get the biggest artist that I possibly could. And this time, I did not want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like now it doesn't matter if it's a big artist or not. It's about the song.
Right.
And I love that about now. Because, like we said, one artist can pop up with a big song and then it doesn't always have to be, oh, you got to get Kanye West or you got to get Nicki on this song or it's going to pop. That doesn't mean anything anymore. It means something, of course, but... It doesn't mean that their record is guaranteed to blow because you have those artists on it.
Or that it does anything for that other person's career.
Right.
Because they just skip to the verse of the Cardi verse or the City Girl.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So I'm doing it. I'm getting artists on it, but they're not necessarily your A-list, B-list, C-list, D-list, F-list celebrities. You
right.
know what I'm saying? It might be somebody that I know.
That works for the song.
That works for the song. So, yeah, so I'm doing something like that. So I'm like, I'm 90% done it.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. that's on its way.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta get you my email.
Yeah, you do. I'm gonna get that out. I wanna get it out before.
I'm not on the note. She don't email me nothing, man.
Well, we gotta check the burner SoundCloud.
Every time you got some, like for instance, the Megan Thee Stallion remix. I think I was about to get the SoundCloud Ripper to get that one for me.
Wait, I'm about to tell you something. I asked somebody, this girl, she texts me all the time, say, Diamond, let me help you, let me assist you, let me do whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, all I need is somebody to do my email blast. Cause when I put those remixes out, like people like yourself, like, you know, they're like, yo, Diamond, send me the song. And I'll be like, oh yeah, I got you, and I forget. And RL said it the other day. He's like, I didn't even get that song. I said, yes, I did send it to you. And then I looked and I'm like, did I send it to the wrong email? I'd be messing up. But
email is such a crazy, that's like old now too.
Yeah. But it is, but it isn't, because you gotta get them records. But mm-hmm. I think what I'm gonna do is make something on my website where people can download it off my website, like
right.
my remixes and everything like that. And I'll send it, I'll still do the blast, but for, you know, somebody that I don't know,
they can just grab it off there.
Yeah, instead of trying to get it on like DJ Cities and your DigiWaxes, you never know if it's going to get up there or not.
So I guess another big thing we got to talk about with you is Obama, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did that all happen? And what exactly, you DJ'd for mm-hmm. him, and you even have a drop of him saying your name.
Yeah, yep. It's like the Democratic Party was coming to the city.
Mm-hmm. And what years was this?
2012.
Oh, it was the second term. Yeah. Okay.
No, his first. What was his first term?
2008 was the first.
The first term, because yeah. I DJed for his first term.
Oh.
Yeah, when he came for his first term, right after he won,
mm-hmm.
and he was in Germantown, and they called me to DJ, and I spun for him. And then he came again to do something with Tom Wolfe
mm-hmm.
at the Lee Cora Center.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I think I was like eight months pregnant.
Oh, wow.
But I brought my fat ass to the Lee Cora Center. And I was like, I'm not missing this opportunity. And he told me the name. He actually told me the name Aiden Barak. Buzz wasn't having that. Like, what? No, you're not.
Oh, the middle name?
No, he was like, what are you going to name him? This Barak was saying this to me. I said, I'm going to name him Aiden. He's like, how about Barack? I said, what? So I told Buzz. Buzz was like, hell no. No, you're not naming my son either another man. What? But that was the second time. And then the third time was just was recent at the...
Michelle and I are having a house party.
No, I wish. I ain't that close. Not that close. But yeah, where were they at? The Dell. Yeah, he was at the Dell. I never met Michelle. I wanted to meet her so bad, but I met Barack three times. I got to speak to him, and every time the Democratic Party does something and they need a DJ, they call me. So
that's what's up.
Yeah, I'm thankful for that. But
and
yep.
What's the job? He's like DJ Diamond Cuts.
Yeah, he did. That was the first term, and he was doing a speech, just thanking everybody that was there.
I was
done my set, and Questlove was like, Diamond, he just said your name. And I was like, what? And my friend was running to me. He was like, Diamond, we made it. We made it. And I'm like, what? I missed it.
Yeah.
So I think it was somebody at the station had ripped the audio
right.
and they sent it to me. And that's how I got it. And then I went on YouTube and I found a clip when he's actually saying it and stuff. So it was awesome. Like, I'll use that forever. Like, what?
Oh,
never
yeah,
getting rid of that.
That's
like history.
Drop.
Yep, so I was thankful to meet him and be able to spend at all of those events.
Who does Diamond Cuts? Pom, 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 pom.
That's Safari.
Okay. Oh, okay, okay.
Uh-huh. He did. We was in like...
Oh, with Nikki and all that. Okay, mm-hmm. That connection. That makes sense.
Yeah, right. We was in a hotel, and he was like, I was like, yo, do me a drop. And he did this long-ass drop.
Right, right.
And I just took that one part. And that was, I was like, I love this. And I
yeah,
just
it works.
It. Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody asked me that last week. They're like, who was that? I said, Safari. They was like, that's Safari? Like, Safari? Safari? I was like, yeah, that's Safari. He did that for me. So that was cool. That drop is hype.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yep. So, yeah, I did a lot of good things. I did the, one of my most recent things that I'm was excited about was Patti LaBelle.
Oh, yeah?
You know what? When you talk about music, I didn't.
Talk,
yeah, my mom used to listen to Patti LaBelle all
right.
the time, and when my dad passed away, we was riding home from the hospital. My mom, If You Only Knew came on the radio. Mm-hmm. It was like on DAS.
Right,
this,
yeah.
My dad wasn't going that long, but it was like on DAS or something. And my mom started crying, mm-hmm. and that was the first time I seen like a real connection with music. We love rap music and everything
right.
like that, but I from there, I was like, wow, you know.
Yeah, nothing touches like that kind of music.
Yeah, you know, so, yeah.
Cause
they, rap. Yeah, right, right. Yeah, because that really touches you. And I was like, you know, let me dig deep into Patti LaBelle. And I just started loving her. And people will always ask me, they say, who is an artist that you want to meet that you have not met yet? And I've been DJing and I've met almost everybody. I said Patti LaBelle all the time. Mm-hmm. Hands down, I'm going to meet Patti LaBelle. So Active was supposed to do her, Active had did a party for her. And he knew that I loved Patti LaBelle. Mm-hmm. So when he was like, they want you to DJ for her for a New Year's Eve party. And mm-hmm. I said, where? At her house. What?
Whoa. Yeah.
So when
where
I
does she live?
I don't say all that.
she's still in the city.
Yeah, she out mean? Here. Yeah, she's still. She's
I'm just
still,
saying everyone knows she's local.
So, yeah, she's still in the vicinity. Yeah.
What's her address exactly?
No. Yeah. But
you got her social security?
No. But when I met her, that was fun. And every New Year's Eve, I never DJ anywhere. I always spend New Year's Eve with my family. Anytime somebody tries to book me, I turn it down all the time. I feel like that's time. I want to bring in a New Year with my family.
Right.
Not last year. Not 2019. No, I was like, I got to bring it
did
in.
Did your mom come?
No, my mom, she was on a cruise somewhere. She always travels somewhere. Yeah, she was so upset. She wanted to be there. It was a last minute thing.
Yeah.
But she wanted to be there so bad.
So what was the bangers at the Patti LaBelle New Year's Eve jump off?
Apache.
Yeah, Apache. She wanted to hear California Love.
Really?
California Love. Wow. That she wanted to hear that.
That's she's been in the industry. I feel like that's not an East Coast joint. Mm-mm. That's from her like being in the music industry in LA and everything like that.
But Patti hip, like she liked all the new songs. Yeah. I was able to play everything because it was a mixture of people there with
different
old,
ages.
Young and old. So I played a mixture of everything and we had a good time. And then when we were done, everybody was going, you know, leaving, and I didn't see her. And I'm like, I have to, you know, I was like, I have to speak. I don't know where she was at in her house. So I was like, I have to talk to her before I leave.
You just kind of went in, set up, started playing. You didn't really.
She was there. She was dancing the whole night. She was there. But then when it got late, of course, she's going to go to sleep or whatever. She was going to go upstairs. And I didn't see her for like an hour or so. And I was like, oh, no, I need to talk to her. I mean, I know I'm DJing and we having fun and we dancing.
Wake up. We gotta talk.
We gotta talk. We gotta talk.
Like,
no, they were like, her daughter-in-law was like, come on, I'll take you upstairs. And we went upstairs and she showed me her closets and upstairs and she gave me a little tour of her, you know, her.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it was so cool. And then I got to talk to her and I told her, you know, about how much my mother loved her and it got me into loving her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was nice. And I seen her again when I did Good Morning America.
That was recent? You did that?
What was that all about? 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks? Yeah, 2 weeks ago. They were coming to Philly, and the producer texted my phone. I was like, what the hell?
Oh, they were in Philly.
They were coming to Philly. They were like, we're coming to Philly in a couple weeks, and we want you to be the house DJ for the show. He's like, I know this is random, but my name is such and such. I'm the producer of Good Morning America. I'm like, hell yeah. So that, yeah. So I saw her again there. That was fun. It was it was messy because it was raining so bad.
Yeah, I want to do that over. Being a really rainy day.
I want to do over so bad because I didn't.
You
really
were outside?
Was outside.
Oh, so not everyone was like walking by.
But I didn't really even get a chance to play because it was so wet.
Yeah.
And the water was just hitting the. All the equipment. They had something over it, but still, you can't stop the heavy rain.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get to do my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, Diamond, we came out here for you.
Yeah.
And I'm like sitting here in silence, like, shit. But it was, the experience was good. The look was awesome. So yeah. I can't complain. It was great.
Yeah, good morning. Anything that you can tell, like, middle-aged ladies that you
they was excited.
That's like the peak of popularity.
Yeah, that Patti LaBelle, then that I was like, I was in there.
Oh, there was that Diamond Cuts is really, yeah, all, I like her.
Yeah,
I just, you know, from what you were saying before about your mom and like, you know, just like the kind of like approval or whatever, I just imagine, you know, the first time you're DJing at Patti LaBelle's house is probably the time when she's
right.
Like, I really like what you're doing with your life.
Yeah, right. Right, yeah, right. Yeah.
That's bringing it home.
She wanted all the details. We had all the details. It was awesome. That was so much fun. And she is so cool. So it was good to actually meet her, like to look up to somebody, to love somebody, like to really love an artist, and then to meet them and they're just so cool. It's awesome. Yeah,
that's good. We got anything else? What's going on?
I think I told y'all my whole life.
That was great. Good stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna go write a biography now. I know everything.
I'm definitely inspired to produce songs in my car.
Hell yeah. I'm telling you, it's the best thing. It's the best thing. Studios are good because you want to be in their vibe, but cars are just as good.
See, we used to, back in the day when Mike would finish working on a remix, or Diplo, like, we bring them to Armand's, and we would give them the Armand's test. We would test them on the, the speakers in the back? That was how we would really, like, do the kind of the car test. It was similar because, like, you could definitely tell sonically if something was up to par by how it sounded compared to all those other records on that system.
Yep.
Speaking of speakers in the back, what about horses in the back? Do you play Old Town Road?
I was just
Road?
Thinking about that, too.
We talk about Old Town Road every week.
Yeah, because it's the number one song forever now, right?
You don't have to play it.
No, I don't have to play it. I played on radio.
Uh-huh.
Clubs. I played it for the first time this past Saturday.
Yeah, you're like me, yo.
Yo, you know, so this boat party that I played at in New York, like, Slink played his remix, and it, you know, he did a remix of different, but it rang, it went off.
It went this crazy.
It went off.
I played a version that I shouldn't have played. I should have played that Bishu remix you gave. I played on the main floor of Voyeur, and I was like, man, let me just try it. But it was just the chorus. Then you need the horses in the back part, you know? It was like a dance remix.
I played the original, but it was like 1:50 a.m. The club, the lights was on.
Yeah, that's a good
time.
That's
when I played it. Yeah. But it's not a record that you play in the middle. Like, it's not one of those records. This is, they want to sing to it if they do sing to it.
Yeah.
They sung to it, whatever. It was cool. But it was like 1:50. It was like the lights was on. We was about to be out of there.
Yeah, we just always talk because, like, I know it's a big record, but I just feel like,
where's the place at? Where are we playing this
or
at?
To us, it doesn't. And the first time I played it, it flopped. So I'm like scarred. Because, like, I played it, like, a little too early.
Now, let me say, it wasn't a big reaction when I played it at 1:50. They
didn't
singing.
Make you be like, oh, I need to be playing this.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think the story behind it is bigger than a record.
Yeah.
How it blew up and how Billy Ray Cyrus jumped on it and saved the day or whatever.
Did you see recently they did a performance of it that involved, like, kind of Lil Nas X, like, crashing through some saloon doors kind of a style?
What? Oh,
okay, so he just, like, walks through. And then, but he didn't really hold the doors open for Billy Ray Cyrus in a way that the doors just, Billy Ray Cyrus is walking behind him with a guitar and it just, like, smacked him right in the face. And everybody's just like, yo.
He was excited.
He was excited. He didn't.
Yeah.
He let his old head get whacked.
Did he buy him, like, a Ferrari or something like that? Didn't he buy him a car or something?
I think so.
I seen it on Instagram. He bought him something. I don't know. Some car. I don't know. I'm not in a car yet. But
did you hear his new album?
Who?
Lil Nas X.
It's like an EP.
EP?
I didn't. I seen it.
You got
it.
A song with Cardi on it.
Is that?
Yeah.
It could be big. Me and
it's up for debate.
Argument, right? So he says Lil Nas X is going to be like the biggest thing.
Not the biggest thing. I just think he's going to be around for years.
Yeah. For sure.
I think it's a one-hit wonder.
Oh, you think it's one-hit?
Or I think, maybe not a one-hit wonder, but a one-year flavor of the month. Kind of like the way Fetty Wap was.
No, you are right. I'm going to tell you why. Because.
You're a politician here.
No, I am right. Both, everybody's right.
Okay, Barack.
He's going to be around. Shut up. He's going to be around. He's going to be around for a long time because his record is so big. They're going to keep giving him chances.
That song, yeah.
They're going to keep giving him chances. They're going to try all of the songs that he got coming. That's what's going to make him be around for a long time now. If he's going to be number one every single time, I don't think so.
Right.
But we don't know.
But what I was saying is this song with Cardi got me a little scared. Like, Joe might be right. After hearing the song with Cardi, that could be big. And there's a few other
joints. And that Panini joint is hot. It's different. It's different, but it's like,
I'm going to listen to it now because I've seen
it. It's not all Old Town Road.
Of course
he's got super rock. He's got super hip hop. And then he's got a little bit of Old Town Road.
It sounds like it's all
over the stuff he did with Travis Barker. And it's
Travis Barker? Yeah. What? He took it back. Oh, right? No. I might listen to that.
Yeah.
I got to. Right?
Rodeo.
I mean, it got
Cardi
on
Cardi,
right?
That's called Rodeo? Rodeo?
Yeah.
Listen, give that a listen. And Panini, those two are definitely, like, they're cool. I don't know. I think the guy
that's why she's been bringing him out to shows. Because I'm like, why does she keep bringing him out to shows?
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's been bringing him out to a couple shows. to check it out.
All right. Well, now that we talked about Old Town Road, I guess
I think full circle. Yeah.
Our whole point was to bring you here to talk about.
We're contractually required to talk about Old Town Road.
Number one song in the country. You got to talk about it.
Yeah,
especially covered.
It's just such a weird song to be like the banger. You know, like where are we at? That's like the biggest
story.
Like a joke.
So what's
internet song?
What's the hottest song in the club right now? Act Up.
Act Up. Yeah, for sure. Hands down. Mm-hmm. Act Up. Act Up. And what else is another big song?
How's Money in the Grave hitting for you?
I love playing it on the radio. I haven't tried it in the club yet.
I haven't tried it either. I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
I've been playing it.
It's
got a little movement.
It's like number seven now, right, on the Billboard.
I mean, it's not just like a street record. It's definitely got a little bit of like.
It got a bounce. That's what I like about it. It got a little.
What about Khaled? Anything off the Khaled? Wish Wish.
I love Wish Wish. Wish Wish. Stay.
Stay. Right. That's the joint. Like we talked about that last week. I wasn't up on that, and someone requested it, and I was like, "Well, I obviously have it because I have the whole album."
Yeah.
And I didn't play it because I wasn't familiar with it. Then the next night I did, and people were into it.
Personally, Wish Wish is my favorite, but Stay is like warm. Everybody's gonna love that record, and I like the SZA joint too. It's Just Us.
Yeah, that's what me and Joe said was the joint, but I don't think it's gonna do much.
No, yeah. I think this Stay record is gonna do something. Well, what did he say? He said he made a whole album full of singles, so we don't know which gonna go.
Right, that's DJ Khaled.
Yeah,
well, some of them have already been
press?
Singles.
Is Press or Wish Wish bigger? You think for Cardi?
That's hard.
Yeah, I can't tell either.
I can't tell because they both sound sonically.
It's a Cardi B song.
It's a Cardi B song.
Cardi B
song. Like Wish Wish. I like Wish Wish over Press, but okay. I don't. But Press is a big record for her. I feel like for right now. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know which one.
I can't tell either. I think I try Press more. When I play that, I feel like I'm almost playing like. It's like I got a Dreams and Nightmares vibe to it where it's like super aggressive, but the beat is like doom, 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 where it's a little, the other ones are more Cardi B, like Wish Wish is more like.
It's hard. Press puts me in a dark place.
Right. It's really
like,
dark.
It
switches up.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's really like, dark. Some songs, I don't know, when I listen to some songs, it puts me in different vibes. Like, that song gives me dark vibes. It's like, oh,
right.
Gosh,
which
so
might not
dark.
Always be the best for the party.
Yeah.
But
no.
People like getting dark and rapping along and being like all aggressive too.
Yeah. The hook for sure.
Word. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
So much. Thanks for having me. Fun talking about different things.
Like, yeah, that's what it's all about, right?
This is just basically we just like to nerd out on like on
DJ
the craft.
Talk.
We had a lot of DJ talk,
music talk, DJ talk.
Nice.
And so, DJs like to listen to it. That's like
that's the only people that listen to.
Yeah. A lot of DJs though.
But there's a lot of DJs. That's true. There's a lot of DJs out there.
Everybody's
so.
A DJ.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's a show for everybody in that regard.
Art.
Anything else we got to cover today? Horses in the back.
Yeah, use discount code ARD to get 10% off of the horses in the back.
We got a nice, nice full episode today.
If you like the show, please rate and review on iTunes. Share with your friends. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. And if you should happen to want us on a platform that we're not on or have any other feedback, we got an email that's ardpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah, and you can email us things you would like to hear us talk about. And we'll definitely maybe laugh at you if it's a dumb idea, but if it's a good idea, we'll do it.
Thanks for listening. Some says put your hands on your knees, some says put your hands on your feet, some says put your hands on your knees, some says put your hands on your feet, 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 some says put it open like a freak.